Well, how do you build community? Carefully, to be sure, it's a process that involves the melding of ideas, people, and resources. An organization called the Community Toolbox is all about this challenge of building community. It's free. Imagine that. It's a free online resource for those working to build healthier communities and bring about social change. It offers thousands of pages of tips and tools for taking action in every community, and it's based over at the University of Kansas. With us today to talk about the Community Toolbox is Dr. Stephen Fawcett. He's the group's director and professor of behavioral sciences over at KU. And Steve, nice to have you. Welcome.
Thank you.
Christina Holt is also here. She's the group's associate director. Christina, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Well, Steve, where did this idea come from and how long has it been around?
Over 20 years.
Over 20 years.
Goes back to 1995.
Who had the idea?
Well, it was a group of us, actually.
You were involved.
Yeah, absolutely. And the original notion was if we were out doing some work here in Kansas, actually, and we were looking to work with an advocacy organization that was trying to bring about improvement in their community. And we had some things back home in the office that would have been useful to folks to give personal testimony on how they were affected by an issue. We were in Wichita at the time, and we said to ourselves, if we only had a box of tools in the back of this was early days of the web, right? So the idea was that if only there was this available set of resources that people could have available to them at their fingertips, just-in-time support to do the things they needed to do to bring about change in communities for improvement in health and well-being, wouldn't that be wonderful?
Well, a lot of times ideas come along and they fade pretty quickly. Why did you guys stick with this one?
Well, universities offer you the gift of time. If you're a tenured academic and you decide that impact is critical to having meaning in the work you do, and you envision that you could actually potentially have an impact that was much deeper than your small group. My colleague Christina likes to talk about small but mighty. The idea was if we could build this box of tools that could then be available to communities around the world, then we could have an impact that was bigger than our small group.
Well, Christina, you guys do talk about this notion of building communities, but what strikes me is that these days people seem to be hibernating into their own homes and moving away from the idea of community. To what extent are you guys pushing against the tides of time here?
There are so many people that see issues in their communities that they are deeply worried about and concerned about. And the toolbox helps provide people with tools that they can actually take action instead of just being at home and worrying about, you know, violence and childhood obesity and HIV/AIDS, for example, that people can start talking to their neighbors, can start talking to people in their communities and figuring out who else cares about these issues and some practical guidance for ways to take action.
And you're finding people out there still want to engage in this way, I guess is what I was driving at, right?
Absolutely. From members of faith organizations to grassroots community organizers, volunteers, staff of nonprofit organizations, there are so many passionate people who want to do something about the issues they see.
I guess, Steve, the crux here is that a lot of folks just simply have no idea of how to go from the letter A to the letter B here. They don't know how to get started, right?
Yeah. Sadly, I think oftentimes we're taught that issues are intractable. Mm-hmm. That mere individuals who aren't officially trained or certified in a particular way aren't maybe positioned to make a difference on things that matter to them. Mm-hmm. And that's a worse form of miseducation. And so the idea is that if one could offer tools that would make the work just a little bit easier and a little more likely to be successful, much like a shovel and a hoe, make that work a little bit, make work in the garden a bit easier. That's the notion.
And Christina, that's what this is, right? A shovel and a hoe. That's what the idea here is. Looking at your website last night, this is pretty practical, basic, helpful stuff, right?
Absolutely. It's how do you learn from people in the community? How do you hold focus groups to find out what the issues are? How do you do a photo voice project? How do you make a plan and how do you advocate with policymakers?
How are you guys funded? Where does the money come from?
in the early days, we were funded by the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation. We had actually
they liked the idea.
They liked it, and they funded us for about 7 years, something in that order. Before that, we had a concept grant from the Kansas Health Foundation. Actually, they were the first supporter of the concept and got us started. Since then, it's been largely self-funded with a bit of resources here and there from different partners who see value in this and want to see it perhaps show up in another language like Spanish and extend its reach and value to other communities that aren't English speaking.
And we're currently working on an endowment to help ensure the ongoing availability of these resources.
The trick here, I imagine, Christine, is getting people to be aware of what this resource is all about. You know, hence your appearance on the show today. People maybe aren't familiar with what you guys are doing.
Absolutely. Or they care about an issue, but they don't realize all of the work that goes into making progress on that issue over time. Mm-hmm. And so some of the partnerships that we have with groups who are doing really phenomenal work, I think, help people see the utility of the community toolbox.
Can you give us a sense of groups that have taken advantage of the toolbox and what kinds of projects they've worked on? Steve, you want to take a run at that?
I think the scope is actually startling. When you start something, you don't have any idea exactly how it's going to play out, as you know probably from the show.
Every day.
There were 5.8 million unique users of the community toolbox last year.
5.8 million
unique users. We just got back from Africa this past Saturday.
Yeah, I want to ask you about that.
There are almost 700,000 unique users from that continent with all of its challenges for access. And so the groups that avail themselves of it include, as you heard from Christina, grassroots groups that are trying to make a difference on a particular cause that matters to them. Mm-hmm. That may be an environmental issue. That may be a public health issue. That may be trying to assure that programs related to HIV or promoting physical activity or healthy nutrition or maternal and child health. When we look at the guest book and we see who signs up and lets us know how they're using it, again, it's free and open source. When you make something free and you make something open source and you basically advertise, share this and share alike, embed this in anywhere that's useful to you. When you make that decision, you will have more friends. You will have more people who will pass this around to other folks because you're not trying to drive people to your spot. You're simply trying to create some supports that will be useful to people for their work in their place for their issues.
Christina, Steve just mentioned 700,000 users in Africa. I immediately thought, well, people there sort of speak different languages than what we speak here. Not all of them, but some. How do you deal with that?
So we are working hard on language translation and cultural adaptation. We have partners who are helping us with translation for Francophone Africa into French, with Portuguese, additional Arabic translation, Russian and Mandarin Chinese. So the goal is really to make this a common well of resources that truly is available for the world.
Again, give us another example or two of the kinds of projects that people have worked on through the help of the community toolbox. Can you think of one, Christina, even a real basic thing so our listeners can grasp just how fundamental this whole thing is?
Absolutely. We have a colleague here from Kenya who has been working on education for girls and helping them continue with schooling. Back in Kenya.
Mm-hmm.
And he's here conducting a four-month internship. But we have been learning from him how he has been using the resources of the toolbox as he's been learning how to sustain his efforts over time, how to really engage different sectors of the community, how to raise awareness about the issues that are affecting these young girls and kind of what's going into causing them to have to drop out of school. And so he's been able to put those resources to play in supporting that effort through the Fountain of Hope initiative.
If people get into this and they hit upon a hard place, they don't know how to proceed, Can they call you up and say, I'm here in Sacramento and I'm struggling with X and I'm not sure how to proceed? Is there a FaceTime component of all of this whole thing?
There is an Ask an Advisor piece. This is so valued that, which is, again, an open source piece. This is so valued that there's a community of people called community psychologists, people who do community development work around the country. And we have volunteers who basically agree to take a 3-month stint and take not direct calls, but take questions that are then posed and provide answers to those questions as best they can. Now, they're all volunteers. And this is not a funded aspect of the work.
Yeah. Is there a project, Steve, that you would point to that seems to have been directly helped by the toolbox?
Mm-hmm. I'll speak to one, a very recent one. Last week I was in Africa at the World Health Organization regional office, which is in the Congo in Brazzaville. And it was an amazing week. It was just an amazing week. I wish you could have been there. You would have loved it. There's this gap between these frameworks for action, the kind of broad guidance that a regional office for Africa. This is a small group of people who are serving 47 member countries throughout Africa and trying to help them address their different program areas of HIV/AIDS, maternal and child health. You can just imagine the range, right? Human security and peace, handling outbreaks. Ebola was one that we worked on with them. And they're doing all this, right, all at once. So there's this framework. There are these broad frameworks for we need to be able to assess the situation. We need to be able to mobilize people to be engaged in the particular work. Then we need to take action. We need to evaluate what we're doing and so on. Those frameworks apply, and there are tools in the toolbox related to those frameworks, whether it's any one of those categorical issues. So we were there to launch an action toolkit that now was, over the weekend, was disseminated to 47 member countries of this UN agency, this World Health Organization agency in Brazzaville. They sent out a press release yesterday. And so it's an exciting time to be able to mash up content from the toolbox with the examples and the work of people in a regional office in Africa, for example, and then to be able to launch a toolkit together that's a collaborative effort.
You know, Christina, as Steve is talking, I'm sitting here thinking about growth potentials. And if you begin to look at the underdeveloped world, whether it's Africa or other parts of the globe, I imagine the upside potential for the community toolbox is pretty substantial.
Absolutely. And we find so much value in working with networks and partnerships. So Steve mentioned the World Health Organization. We are working with Healthy People here in the United States who work with all of the local and state health departments in the country. Mm-hmm. We work with the Charter for Compassion International, with the Medical Reserve Corps, Unnatural Causes PBS documentary series, and many others, people who are wanting to support those who are taking meaningful action in communities with tools and resources to help them be more successful.
I should say the Community Toolbox website, CTB for Community Toolbox at KU.edu, right?
CTB.KU.edu.
Okay, sounds good. Let's go to some phone calls at 816-235-2888. Diane from Kansas City, Missouri. Diane, good morning.
Good morning. I have relocated my life to outside of Cape Town, South Africa. So I was very interested to hear that, you know, the community tools is available internationally and in Africa. Does the website network you with work that's already being done? So you're a volunteer living there, or you want to volunteer, does it do the kind of networking that you can track possibilities of plugging in with already ongoing work?
Yeah, Diane, hang on. Christina, networking?
It doesn't currently, though we do aspire to make that feature available in the future, given resources.
Our approach so far has been to work with partners who have great reach and who are themselves connected with their own local networks for addressing related issues. So that's been our strategy so far.
Okay. All right. That's all. I'll keep an eye out as you begin to be able to network potential volunteers and people who want to get involved at the grassroots level with something that's going on, because that's very important from my experience in South Africa.
Yeah, sounds good. Diane, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Christine, give us some of a sense of the range of skills you cover on your website. What are some of the things because there's so many things listed on there.
Yes, skills covered include assessing community needs and resources available to address those needs, developing a framework or logic model for taking action, developing strategic and action plans, including things like developing a vision and mission and objectives. Additional things include building leadership and future generations of leadership, working with policymakers, building relationships. We have newly added content on the toolbox around spirituality and community building, covering topics including peace and reconciliation, for example. And then other tools and resources include skills building guidance on evaluating your efforts and sustaining them over time, writing grants.
Again, pretty fundamental, basic stuff, but important stuff here. What are some of the skills needed in Africa, Steve?
The colleagues that we're working with in Africa laid out a series of a framework for action for them. So mobilization, assessment, planning, taking action, including advocacy, evaluation, sustainability, some of the same ones Christina just mentioned.
What happens when your work maybe isn't as warmly received in some countries? How do you deal with that in a dictatorship, for instance, and they're not open to the idea of KU coming in there and telling people what to do?
Sure. We're not in the business of telling people what to do. We're too ignorant of local circumstance to possibly be in that position to do so. However, I think you hit on some people are – particularly, their immediate, what's in front of them is a problem, is a challenge in the work. So that challenge might be we're facing opposition or resistance, which is a serious challenge. And so we built, this was almost 15 years ago, nearly 20 years ago, we built a troubleshooting guide, which is another feature. And that's where we would direct people to, and what that does is pose so let's say the issue that people are facing, the challenge they're facing is opposition and resistance. There's a set of questions that are offered to do a situation assessment. Who are our opponents? Why are they opposing us? What forms are they using to opposing us? Are they trying to merely delay our work? Are they discounting our work? Are they discrediting us? Are they trying to destroy us? And what are the counteractions that we might take? So it's not naive, and one doesn't have to go very far to experience resistance. That obviously happens in local work here in Kansas City as well.
Now, you guys, Christina, are also partnering with the Peace Corps now. What are you doing with that organization?
The Peace Corps has a deep commitment to capacity building of not only their volunteers and staff, but also of locals in the communities where they're serving. And the Community Toolbox has been useful to them over the years. And so they're working to build an online toolkit that can be used and available 24/7 to volunteers who are in communities in Africa and beyond, especially right now those who are addressing HIV and AIDS, and then using those same tools to go into the communities where they're living and do capacity building work around those.
I would think the Peace Corps, the potential there to help folks in different communities around the world would be enormous, Steve.
I think this has been the blessing of this project. We're finding that some people find this gap between what they're attempting to do and the practical resources for doing it such that the toolbox could be useful to them.
Yeah.
When partners such as those at the Peace Corps or the World Health Organization Regional Office in Africa or the International Charter for Compassion reach out to us, often Christine is the one getting those emails, and say, we'd like to work with you. We see value in what you're doing, and we think together we can make a bigger difference. That is an enormous blessing.
Christina, the website again is what?
ctb.ku.edu.
Okay, sounds good. I want to thank Dr. Stephen Fawcett, the group's director, professor of behavioral sciences over at KU, and Christina Holt, the group's associate director. Thank you very much, and good luck with your work. Appreciate it very much.
A pleasure. Thank you.
Bet.